My car was giving me so much grief. It was. Overall, my car looked great. It even started fine. But driving down the road, it made this horrific noise. It was screeching. It was squealing. And so finally, I broke down and I took it to the shop. Only to discover what you've probably already guessed, it was in the brakes. It had only been in and up on the rack a few minutes, and they came back out and they said, "It's in the brakes," and I was bracing myself for them to tell me how many hundreds of dollars it was going to be, and the guy looked at me and smiled and said, "We'll have it back together in a few minutes. Here was your issue," and he held out to me this stick about that big. For real. And it was all ground down, and it had grooves on it. And somehow this stick had jumped off the road into my brake system and was stuck in there between the pads and the drum and the calipers and all that jazz that's in there. And wow. So how much is this going to cost me? And they said, "That's your lucky day." And I went off with just a simple charge. It was so good. But you know what? Who knew such a tiny little piece could jump in and cause a parts problem? A very similar dilemma happens when it comes to Christ's body, the church. We end up with parts problems. Life together gets noisy and confusing and awkwardly ineffective at times. And we end up emphasizing certain parts and people and their makeup and gifts, the ones we deem most impressive. And we downplay or ignore other parts, the ones we relegate to a status as unimportant based on their mix of strengths and passions and gifts. And often we do this in our view and treatment of others, but we also import such an outlook related to ourselves, personally, individually. Over the years, I've watched people think little of themselves and hold back from engaging in active, vibrant service for Jesus. I've also seen other people who roam around with an outrageously inflated view of themselves and as a result be crazy divisive in the process. In today's message, Bo and I together will be aiming to help us cultivate stronger inclusion, encouragement, and mutuality together in Christ's body. Specifically, our local expression. See the body of Christ is worldwide, the larger body of Christ, and then we have our local expression, like right here, Manor Church. And the reality is we shine like a diamond. We do. We shine like a diamond, every part in Christ's body, essential, multifaceted, together, shining brighter. We shine like a diamond, every part in Christ's body, essential, multifaceted, together, shining brighter. Paul drives into this idea with the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We invite you there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. Join us, please. First century Corinth, the big Christian challenge was the Corinthians' own arrogance and compromised worldly ways. They were stuck on the externals, materialism, corrupt sexual perspectives, and in all of it, all-out self-indulgence. In the midst of the materialism and the corrupt perspectives, it was all-out self-indulgence. And they were boastful about it all, claiming to be wise in convoluted ways and at too many points, very undermining of Paul's ministry as an apostle. They were consistently undermining Paul's ministry. So he's writing to correct them and to set them back on a Christ-focused path and to re-strengthen their faith together. So we'll start today in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14.
Beginning in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? As we continue to go about this passage this morning, we see two words that Paul repeats here. The first of these two words is the word body. And when we translate the word body in the Greek, it translates to the word soma. Now, when you and I think about the word body, we tend to think about our physical individual bodies. Your body, my body, or perhaps if you're watching a mystery series on Netflix right now, maybe it is a dead body. But Paul here is not referring to a physical individual body, but Paul is talking about the soma Christu, the body of Christ. The second of these two words that Paul repeats is the word part. And when we translate the word part in the Greek, it translates to the word melos, or it could also mean members or the limbs in reference to here in the body of Christ. There appear to be members of the church in Corinth that were perhaps feeling a little bit discouraged when it came to themselves and their role in this assembly of believers. Perhaps it was because when it came to their strengths, passions, and gifts that they possessed, they, in comparison to themselves to other people, were not necessarily magnified in the spotlight within this assembly. As someone who gets the opportunity to work with students, one of the problems that I see students deal with, and perhaps even some adults deal with today, is body image. Now, if you can think back to your middle and high school days when you were a teenager, if you were anything like me, you also struggled with this. When it came to your body, you didn't like it, and perhaps you struggled with the changes that were taking place to your body. You didn't appreciate it, you felt discouraged, and you felt inferior when you compared yourself to other people. You devalued your body, and you saw yourself as a burden. If we were to draw a spiritual parallel to this same example, we might look here to some of the believers here in Corinth. For some of them, when they compared their individual strengths, passions, and gifts that God had given them to other believers, they also felt discouraged and inferior. They didn't appreciate what God had given them, but devalued themselves and their role within this assembly of believers. But to show some of these believers that when and what they had been given by God were in fact not inferior to others, I invite you to turn with me to verse 17 and see what Paul says. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? As the scholar Warren Wiersbe writes, if we were to take this verse and summarize it into one simple sentence, we could do it like this. Diversity does not suggest inferiority. Diversity does not suggest inferiority. If a physical body was made up of one part, the body would not be able to function properly. If everyone at Chick-fil-A took your order, there would be nobody to make the milkshake for your order or the other 1,000 milkshakes that are ordered that day, just so that the drive-thru line can function properly. Same goes for here at Manor Church. If everybody was gifted in administration, who would build relationships with our visitors, our kids, our journey friends, our young adults? And likewise, the opposite is true as well. If everybody was building relationships, how would we keep track of everyone that we engage with? How would Manor Church function properly? If God distributed you and me and everyone else within the body of Christ with the same exact strengths, passions, and giftings, there wouldn't be diversity, but in Paul's point here, only uniformity. And we'll see this continue on as we go into this next section.
Yeah, right on, Bud. It's really good. So every part is so vital to all the others. Every part is so vital. Multifaceted is good. Different is good. Multifaceted is strong. Last year, for the first time, I was hit with tinnitus in my right ear. Anybody else ever faced tinnitus? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It was crazy how it affected everything. Not only my hearing, but everything else throughout my day, like my own voice and even my sense of balance. It was crazy. And eventually discovered that it was allergy related. It was something of relief because it eventually cleared and I felt better, but wow. Wow, it was stunning how that affected everything. And right here, Paul focuses our view on God's deliberate initiative. God's deliberate initiative. Look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. He says, "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Now notice this is God's active work. This is God's active work, placing the parts together in the body very specifically. We're told he does this just as he desired. Just as he desired. His design is intentional. The right people. The right people and their gifts, passions, talents, and strengths are not haphazardly dumped into church life. No. They're carefully arranged according to the perfect will of God. It's entirely according to what he wants, who he wants, where and when he wants them there. Note how people and their gifts, special placement, are coinciding with the Lord's plans, wishes, and desires. The Apostle Paul is emphatic about this. This includes people's gracious skills, personalities, unique capabilities, those people we might perceive having limitations, disabilities, others in seasons of suffering, then others in seasons of success, plus people's passions, unique passions for service. It's not right to claim we're missing a piece. Anybody during the pandemic and all that was transpiring so often with quarantine, anybody take up puzzling? Any of you do puzzling? I know a number of us did. It seemed for a while like every other post on Facebook was, "Here is my 15th completed puzzle." And then it was interesting, occasionally somebody would post their puzzle picture and then zero in on one piece that the cat ate, or grandma lost, or Aunt Matilda left out of the box. Now, most of us are pretty good about trusting the puzzle company when we get a box with a brand new puzzle to get it right. And if you trust the puzzle company like that, if you trust the puzzle maker, don't you believe we can trust God to put all the pieces together exactly right? Exactly right. It's so crucial to realize he gets it right. He gets it right. Really good to pause and consider again the body as a whole. We are multifaceted, yes, and together, Christ's body. Fascinating when you consider that Jesus, Son of God, died and was raised to life in his body. He then ascended back to the Father in that body, but then assigns his followers today to be his active body here on earth. We might readily hear these words, body of Christ, and I've done this plenty of times, mistakenly think it's just the church gathered like this on Sunday in a building, when in reality, Jesus is best expressed in our world every day as we live and love and work and serve and build up and heal and witness to truth and offer hope and otherwise, with all we have and all we are, witness to who Jesus is. In such active body life all week, with active compassion in our workplaces and our neighborhoods and our ball teams and our families, well, when we are Christ's body like that, active with his love, we shine bright like diamonds. We are the active body of Christ functioning as a shining witness in our world. So how active are you? How active are you? Truly. Functioning as shining witnesses in our world, how active? Every part, all week long, so important.
And notice how Paul goes back into the details about these various parts, beginning in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. Continuing with this illustration of a physical body, Paul points out that one part of the body cannot go out with the other. If it does, it will collapse. Now, if you ever watch a professional football game, one of the positions that you will notice that gets special honor and recognition is the quarterback. They tend to be the one that is being talked about during the game. They are usually the one that gets the post-game interview. And they are the ones that are viewed as the leader of the team. Now, if there's one position on a football team that does not get the special honor and recognition that the quarterback does, it is the offensive lineman. Now, if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan like John and I, it might be hard to believe that such a position actually exists, considering how many times a quarterback has gotten hit over the last 2 years.
True. It's true.
But for any typical football team, without the offensive lineman, the quarterback is in trouble. They're scrambling out of the pocket, they're making bad throws, and eventually, sooner or later, they will get injured. Perhaps not just only for the game, but perhaps for their whole career.
Or he'll just go play for another team.
Yeah. But like with that team specifically, if a quarterback does not have their offensive lineman, bad things will happen. The quarterback is dependent on their offensive lineman, and the offensive linemen are dependent on their quarterback. They depend on their quarterback to make good throws, to complete passes, to throw touchdowns, so that their team can score points and achieve its goal of winning games. Like with each position on a football team, like Paul's illustration with a physical body, when it comes to the body of Christ, each body of the Christ is also dependent on each other so that the church can achieve its goals, that it can be unified and reveal Christ out into the world. What God has given you and I in terms of the strengths, passions, and gifts are equally and essentially valued. It is not a mistake, the things that God has distributed each of us, but rather it is something that reveals to us God's wisdom.
Yeah, his wisdom. His wisdom. Remember, it's what he wants. It's what he wishes. It's his will. And he gets it right. He truly does. A mention of the foot. The foot in the passage reminds me of several years back. Nance and I worked with college students. We took a group of college students to Long Beach Island, and I played football one afternoon out on the beach with this group of guys, and I accidentally collided with another guy, and in the process of collision, I jammed my middle toe, and it immediately swelled up. I mean, like instantaneously. It was swelling up. It was blue. I put ice on it, but I was unable to drive home, and so somebody else in the van had to drive home. I was in tears, I was in agony, and I hobbled around for days. Nance kept telling me, it's broken. I kept saying, no, it's not. But I lived in denial for 2 weeks. I hobbled around. It was ridiculous. And I finally went to the doctor, and I sat there on the table, and he took one look at it, and he said to me, it's broken. I said, that's what I thought, doc. That's what I thought, yeah. And then he handed me a roll of white tape, and he said, tape that toe to the other toe next to it for support, for strengthening. And sure enough, within 24 hours, it was already starting to feel better and stronger. Who knew? Who knew that your middle toe could be so important? I had never even given it a thought, and yet so important. We shine like a diamond. Every part in Christ's body, essential. Every part in Christ's body, essential, multifaceted together, shining brighter. Paul, again, with strong contrast, rivets us right back on God's active initiative. Right back on God's active initiative. God's work. Second half of verse 24, look there. 24b. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. In verse 18, he said, God placed the parts, the members, just as he desired, his will, his wish. This time in verse 24, he says, God composed or put the body together. This old word is the idea of blending portions with one another or strategically mixing elements, parts together. In ancient literature, the root word was actually used of blending colors in painting into a harmonious and beautiful shade or tone. It meant unifying composition, color, to form one body. Intriguingly enough, Paul actually says God's approach includes some surprising favor toward those parts, those members, that might readily be deemed as lacking importance. In other words, middle toes are crucial. All the parts. Notice the intention, verse 25. The intention, verse 25. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. No division. So there will be no schism. Literally, not be schism in the body. Not be schism in the body. Instead, there will be the same care of parts for one another. A renowned church leader years ago said, why do we tear and rip apart the members of Christ and rebel against our own body and reach such a level of insanity that we forget that we are members of one another? This was a challenge from Clement, Bishop of Rome in AD 95, first century. Stunning, right? Some things just don't seem to really change over time, but they should, right? Consider some implications, some big implications. Here's the first. First implication. God hasn't made a mistake or let us down. God hasn't made a mistake or let us down. Sometimes we say, oh boy, we say it to ourselves. We kind of mumble it amongst each other. Sure feels like a crisis. If only we had better people and gifts. We can trust God. He gets it right. We can trust God. He gets it right. Here's another big implication. There's no room for comparison games. No room for comparison games. Again, we often say it to ourselves or mumble amongst ourselves. Well, you know, that church down the road over there, they got all the cool, talented people and gifts. Really? And we're not? I mean, come on. Here's another big implication. There's no room for whining, complaining, grumbling about God's planning, either personally or corporately. No room for whining, grumbling, complaining. He paints the colors together. Just the right mix. Here's another implication. There's no room for super emphasis on only what we deem the super important gifts and passions and members and people. Unfortunately, we tend to have tire issues, like your tires on your vehicle going down the road. Tire issues. We overinflate or underinflate or deflate. We do this with both ourselves and with one another. Arrogance, overinflating, or inferiority, underinflating, or put downs, deflate. And such issues serve to dull, really dull, how we shine. And one more implication. There's no room for holding back. He puts us together to actively serve. No room for holding back. He puts us together to actively serve.
As we continue to near the end of this passage, I invite you to look at verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Paul here speaks of two ends, two different tastes of life experiences, suffering and being celebrated. He insists that in light of God's vibrant initiative, all of us can and should join in this together. Mutual suffering and celebrating with others. Paul's words here give us a few questions, both individually, I know for myself, but also each of us can do together collectively when we reflect on this. Three questions. Question one, do we take this seriously and aim to enter in together with others in both their suffering and their rejoicing? Do we take this seriously and aim to enter in together with others in both their suffering and their rejoicing? Question two, do we deliberately show up to sympathize when someone is experiencing difficulty? Do we deliberately show up to sympathize when somebody is experiencing difficulty? And last but not least, question three, do we deliberately show up to join in the glorious good time moments? Again, question three, do we deliberately show up to join in the glorious good time moments?
Paul caps off this section, final verse we'll consider today, verse 27. Verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The apostle synthesizes with this strong reminder. Christ is our unifying member. He says that the body of Christ is our unifying member, the head of the body, as Paul says in Ephesians 1:22, the head of the body. And we dare not forget our leader's leading command. His leading command to the original disciples in the upper room, John chapter 15, verse 12. John 15, 12, he says, love is to prevail. Love one another as I have loved you. Love is to prevail. In fact, he said, that's how everybody will know you're my disciples. Love one another. And in fact, it's immediately where Paul goes with the Corinthians in chapter 13. Chapter 13, the love chapter was not supposed to be exclusively for weddings. No, that wasn't even originally its intention. It's the glue and oil, the active love for making our relationships and service together work within the body of the church and then Christ's witness in the world. We shine like a diamond. We shine like a diamond. Every part in Christ's body, essential, multifaceted, together, shining brighter. We shine like a diamond. Every part in Christ's body, essential, multifaceted, together, shining brighter. Let's stand together. We're going to pray, and the team's going to come back to lead us in a closing song. Let's stand. Precious Jesus, We thank you that you lead the way in our lives. You are our head, our leader. You lead the way. You've given us your command, not only toward this togetherness and the eagerness to serve actively one another, but to let love reign supreme. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, by your grace and by your Spirit, to stir up within us these holy things, these better attitudes. Help us drop that which would be divisive, or that which would be complaining, or playing comparison games, or just being lazy. Shake up and stir within our souls an action orientation that loves you and loves others with all we've got, Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you that you get it right. You don't make mistakes. You're putting together your body. It's a joy. It's a joy to serve together and shine like diamonds.